I support the Second Amendment. I purchased a gun when I was a young man. I've been a hunter pretty much all my life.
Can I get me a hunting license here?
I'm not a big game hunter. I made it very clear. I've always been, if you will, a rodent and rabbit hunter. All right, small varmints, if you will.
You better say your prayers, you flea-bitten varmint.
Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. It is the September 16th episode of Monday Night Talk, and staying with us is Peter Brown. Peter's going to be hanging in and being my co-host. So is it Joe Rossi. Joe's kind of looking at his phone right now, though, but you'll hear him pipe in from time to time.
The work never ends.
The work never ends. But we have some of the folks who are in a little bit of an election mode. They're here to talk about a race. They're looking for your vote tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. I know that it's been in the paper that's from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., but the polls open in Brockton at all 28 precincts at 7 a.m. Get out and vote. It's an important vote, and I believe that they're going to be two citywide votes as far as a mayor and at-large. There are like 42 people running for council at-large. And then there's the ward races, Ward 5, and then there's Ward 7. And Ward 7 is a very unique story in itself because there is no incumbent. Why is that, Dick Sicaro?
Because the incumbent's running for mayor.
No, I thought you were going to say
McMillan.
Okay, he is correct. Chris McMillan is one of the four candidates running for mayor. And that means that how many will be on the ballot November 5th after tomorrow, Shirley?
Two.
And I believe joining us is Tim Sullivan. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Kevin. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. We're going to make sure we turn you up so everybody can hear you. So the idea is just to kind of have a conversation. I know you guys are going to be looking forward to tomorrow. First, we'll go right around the room. We'll start with ladies first, with Shirley Azak. Shirley, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name is Shirley Azak. I am a small business owner, and I'm married, and I have two children. And I'm a resident of Brockton. I've lived in Brockton pretty much all my life, and I'm dedicated to the city. And I just want to see it become a better city and do my best to serve my residents in Ward 7. I mean,
okay. Because I took a picture of her.
Camera shy.
And of course, let's give Tim, if you will, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Yes, I will, Kevin. Kevin, I've lived in Brockton since 1972. And again, my name is Tim Sullivan, and I appreciate it very much, the opportunity to speak directly to all the residents of Ward 7. For your 4 years, I have been elected a member of the Brockton School Committee. For the past 4 years, I have worked with parents advisory councils, teachers, and principals, and students to make Ward 7 schools the best that it could. Saving the Raymond School and working for major capital improvements in all our schools are the major accomplishments that I have made. Also, for 11 years, I have been the chairman of the board and commissioner of the Brockton Housing Authority. In that time, I have helped make it one of the very few top housing authorities in the country. No authority has received the national award that BHA has received. Finally, I am a fat bus driver by day. I have worked at that job for 38 and a half years. So my whole life is serving the public.
Now, what is your favorite
role? I would like
around
to continue as the city councilor and move on. The best ward in the city. Thank you.
Okay, I was gonna ask you. What is your favorite bus route?
Up and down Main Street. Number one and number two.
Okay, Dick, if you could, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having us on WATD. For us, it's always a pleasure to be here, Kevin. And I'm last in the order, as I'll be on the ballot tomorrow. It was drawn. Shirley first, Tim second, and me last. So third on the ballot for those people that vote in the primary. I was born and raised in Brockton. I was a graduate in 1971, first graduating class of the new high school. Married to 35 years last Monday, and when I turned 60 as well. Two children, raised and educated in Brockton school systems. I then attended Suffolk University. I graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Economics in 1975 and went to work for the state for 15 years. I ended my career in 1990 as Chief of Pension Investment Operations for Treasurer Crane, where I ran a $5 billion pension fund. Then I went into the so-called dreaded private sector for 15 years. I was a pension fund consultant for 15 years with three different firms. I had the City of Brockton Pension Fund, Plymouth County Pension Fund. I'm a chartered commissioner in Plymouth County. I'm chairman of the Mayor's Trust Fund Advisory Committee, overlooking $5 million in trust fund money, and also chairman of the Cable Advisory Board. So I have a well-rounded background, not only in government, but private sector as well, and I've been self-employed in my own business for the last 8 years.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to ask, Peter?
Well, Tony Baldwin, Mr. Baldwin, I guess, was pretty big in Brockton. His son asked me to ask this question. State-approved gas-fired clean energy plant proposed for Hillway. What's that, and how's that going to work, and is that going to be approved?
Me first, we go in reverse.
I've
heard of Mr. Baldwin. I think he passed away a few years back.
Yes.
He's very involved with the Boys and Girls Club, so he was very dedicated to our city. But I'll let somebody else.
I don't know much about the
plant that, you know, that they want, but if it's the plant that is being proposed.
That seems to be the big issue is
right.
This is something that's been ongoing for 8 years. Mm-hmm. That has been proposed, and I know that there are a group of residents who are opposing it. I know that the city council has been opposed to it. The mayor has been opposed to it. But with every election, there's usually a couple of folks who say, why not?
Right.
And so we get a little bit of, it becomes a renewed issue.
Okay, I'll tell you why not. It's not the right place. City of Brockton is a heavily, densely populated residential city of 100,000 people or more. The profits that we're going to benefit have been unrealistic. You might have a handful of people to actually construct it. Once it's completed, after 3 years, there'll only be maybe three or four individuals manning the power plant down there. We have poor air quality, as is, one of the highest asthma rates in the entire state. As far as the power, it's going to be sold on the national grid, so we're not even guaranteed getting access to power. Mm. It goes to the highest bidder. And it's just not the right thing for the city. It's as far as I'm concerned, we had two similar power plants blow up, one in Connecticut, one in Florida. You cannot put a value on a single life.
When did the one in Florida blow up?
It was about a month ago. They had a huge fire and problem in Florida with a similar power plant. So it is not the answer. There's many other ways we can get money. And by even lowering our taxes, there's plenty of money out there. And I'll tell the people how to get the money as well through regionalized services,
okay.
Reducing some of the bad investments in the power plant is not the answer.
All right. Tim, how do you feel about it?
Kevin, I am 100% against the power plant. And originally, I was the only one that was standing up against it. The three people that are running in Ward 7. Yeah. Most of the reason is, number one, the residents of Ward 4, where this power plant was going to go, they don't want it. It's a 10-story building with over 400 residents. They don't want the smoke blowing into their windows. And these people have already paid their dues. They're living in public housing, and they just want to live and relax. They don't need this power plant there.
Okay. Do you want to say something?
Sure. I mean, I've been against the power plant from the beginning, even when I voted. We voted on it as residents, and I'm still against it. I don't think anything is more valuable than the lives of our residents and our environment. So I have not changed on that. And I know even the counselor, the ward counselor that was our ward counselor now was against it. I haven't heard anybody really, the majority of the people are against it.
I have to ask you, and this is a general question. I'm going to put out there first person who answers, and then we'll kind of make sure everybody else kind of gets their word in their edgewise. What do you feel is the main issue or issues with your particular race?
I'll go first on that one. It's taxes. and police protection, public safety, and the infrastructure being roads, parks, playgrounds.
I believe that that's citywide. As far as our individual race, as far as our
Ward 7,
I'll be honest, they're just general. There is nothing specific besides streets and lights being out and things like that. I think Mr. McMillan did his job. We have our Westgate Mall is pretty much full. It looks amazing, and we have a lot of new businesses in the area. So I think as far as just Ward 7, I don't think we have any specific issues just that are Ward 7.
Tim, were you done, huh?
No, I mean, there's always improvement. I mean, we have our park. We have DW Field Park. We have a lot of, things we can
improve. Our golf course. You guys have a lot of cool stuff at Ward 7.
We do. That's why it's a cool ward. But yeah, we do have a lot.
An art museum, that's right.
Art museum, the DW Field Golf Course, the park.
Tim, do you want to add in on this? What are your thoughts as far as what do you feel are the issues of your particular ward? Not so much that it's, it seemed that I heard a difference between what Dick thought was some of the issues, like he thinks it's crime and stuff like that.
Taxes number one.
Then Shirley thinks that.
I think they're citywide. I think taxes are citywide, and I think crime is citywide. Okay. I don't think it's happening right in Ward 7.
Tim, give us your thought.
I agree, Kevin. Taxes are a main priority in Ward 7. And I just wanted to add that it's a beautiful, beautiful ward. I call it, I didn't name it, but I took it from the old councilor, Charlie Logan. He called it the Park and Lakes region. And I've kind of adopted it myself. But taxes are up there. Maintain the quality in the schools. Reconstruct our roads and the infrastructure and the public safety, which includes the police and the fire.
Okay.
Are all the top categories in Ward 7.
How do you pay for the police and fire if you don't use some sort of tax or revenue?
That's an excellent question. Tim, Peter just asked, how are you prepared to pay for additional police and fire? I know like this week there's a, up for a vote is the new firefighters contract. And I'm sure on the heels of that will be a new police union's new police union contract that's in the works, as well as some of the other unions that are probably lining up to do collective bargaining. Give us your thoughts as to how you would pay for that.
How I'd pay for it, Kevin, is I just want to say that up front, number one, that the fire contract has been a long time in coming, and I'm glad it's finally over. And I do not think a 2% raise per person is much of an increase. I take my hat off to all the guys and the women who negotiated that contract. Mm. But there was other ways of paying for things rather than raising taxes. I was talking about modifying the taxes a little bit. Simply look at it. Redefine who gets what, where the money goes. I wanted to look at all the items that have been privatized, such as the trash, and make sure those privatizations are worth it. If they're not, put them back to regular people.
Okay.
I have plenty of ways to find money without and even going down on our taxes. Believe it or not, people out there, hear me again, going down on our taxes. The total budget is $317 million. It's an outright disgrace that we're only spending 16% on public safety. We're only spending 6% on the police. We have 176 police officers compared to comparable communities that have double the police force. And you wonder why the crime's out of sight. Now, let me just rattle off some statistics here. We have $29 million in cash reserves. Department of Revenue says we only have to keep 3%. That's $9 million. We have $20 million unrestricted cash. We have $5 million surplus in the water balance, $9 million surplus in the sewer balance. We're letting Stonehill College get away with $2 million, not paying us their fair shares in our sewer tie-in because of political connections there, when they should be charged a bulk rate, not a residential rate, $200,000 a year. We're spending $7 million a year for a desalinization plant. We're not getting a drop of water in return. We have $6 million in a stabilization fund. They keep saying we're saving it for a rainy day. Meanwhile, they give every department head tens of thousands of dollars in raise. That's not a rainy day fund. They save $28 million in health insurance benefits. If we went with the state GIC, I've heard we could have saved $100 million. That's one-third of our budget there.
Okay, before you fall off your soapbox,
okay,
let's try to round it off so everybody else
all right,
gets a
so
fair
I just,
to say
I just
something.
Went over you close to $100 sure. million, dollars, okay? So there's no need to sustain a high tax rate. We have one of the highest tax rates in commercial and residential taxes. We got to lower that, build the infrastructure, attract businesses and people in the city, not drive them out.
How do you feel about it?
I agree with Mr. Zaccaro. The money is there. I think there's just waste and mismanagement, so we need to have it be well managed. We, as advised by the state, I think we were told that we need to hire an assistant for our CFO, Mr. Condon, or an intern or somebody for when he is, because right now he's the only one that is doing the job. So we need to have some, we were advised to get somebody in there with him. So I believe the money is there, and I believe if it's well managed, and I don't think we need to do anything else.
You have a question, Joe?
Yes. If you were to be elected, what is one of the first things that you would either do or advocate for once you were on city council?
Sure, Charlie.
I would advocate, once again, that brings us back to the waste and mismanagement. I would like to see City Hall be customer friendly and maybe audit City Hall, like actually have go through the different departments and make sure that they are being... doing their job. That would be my number one thing, but there's many others.
Okay. Tim, do you want to weigh in on that? Did you, or do you need Joe to re-ask the question?
No, I'm fine. Kevin, the first thing I would do was add more police. I had a plan of adding 7 police officers per year for the next 2 years, which is 14. And that's on top of what the mayor is talking about adding 5 or 6 right now. But I really believe we need these people on the street just to keep Ward 7 more friendly.
Okay.
What I would do is I would put an end to all those special interest deals that I just tallied up for $100 million, redirect the money fixing our streets, provide more jobs, fix our neighborhoods, add more police, and I would finally call for an independent audit on all city finances. Let's take a look where the cash is coming from, where it's going. We should be lowering our tax rates. Let's look at the short-term cash investments that Mr. Kahn is investing. Let's look at all the municipal bond underwriting. I've heard it's been a pretty closed shop there. We should throw it open to all parties out there and let them actively participate in bids on these services. And let's get the money back into the taxpayers' pockets instead of gouging them year after year after year. Mr. Condon just goes up every year automatically on a 2.5% full tax levy to fund the budget on the people's backs, and he's not even a resident of Brockton. And the last thing I want to say is enforce the residency requirement that you people voted on, and let's for once maybe consider a non-resident tax for people who work in the city and do not live in the city.
Can you define you people?
The people. that do not live in the
city,
that work in the city.
I understand. Everybody's in a serious mode here, and you are listening to some folks who are running for seat in Ward 7. Tomorrow is the election day, or it's the preliminary, and folks should get out and vote from between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. because only two of these folks who you're listening to this evening. Whether it's Shirley Azak, whether it's Dick Zaccaro or Tim Sullivan, make sure you you get out there and vote. I have to ask this one question: is I'm hearing, while you are the ones that I'm talking to right now, I'm hearing it from like every candidate, whether somebody's running for mayor, whether somebody running for at large, running for school committee, is how I would do this, I would do that. How would you be able to do this? Is there an understanding that you'll be working with 10 other people? Do you folks understand that? And how important will it be to work with some of your colleagues in order to get some of your initiatives, looked at? Tim, go ahead, Tim.
Tim, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Tim. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can I jump in on that?
Yeah, please do.
What I'm doing is bringing my back service, my past 4 years with the Brockton School Committee. And as a group, we had to work together. Our board is 7, with the mayor made 8. So anything to pass, I had to have a minimum of 4 people. I needed 3 others, besides myself, to pass anything. I had mentioned this once before, that these 2 people beside you think they're going to walk in and change the world, but it's not going to happen. You have to have 6 other people with you to get anything passed in Brockton. If they think it's going to walk in and change everything, they're crazy. It's not going to happen. Thank you.
Shirley, Ed?
Yes, I know that I can't change anything up.
Go ahead, Shirley.
I, as Ward 7 counselor, would be a part of a group of counselors. I have, right now, there is nowhere in my mind that I think that I can go in there and change the world. I'm planning on working with a group of people, with our residents, not just the counselors, but with the residents, to get the issues resolved. And alone, I can't do anything. And I know that, and I've said that in the past, so I'm not dreaming.
Okay.
Well, there's where I had a clear-cut difference why you should vote for me. I disagree with both of my opponents. I can change the city council around. I have the financial experience. I worked on a $5 billion pension fund. I've been an internal controls person, and I can educate the council. And I'm going to go on record right now. It deeply troubles me and disturbs me when I have sitting councilors that are on this city council for years and years. They cannot read a financial report when they get the budget. They're totally at a loss to Mr. Condon when he's rattling off numbers out there. I can understand these numbers. So I'll be there as a liaison and work with the other councils closely. I know it's strong council, weak mayor. We have a B form of government. And I can interpret the financial data and make recommendations and make sure we're maximizing the investments on our return. And when I hear a counselor, well, without mentioning names, that thinks public safety is 70% of the budget, which is $317 million, it's only 16%, that's a clear-cut reason what I bring to the table. A lot of the councilors don't even understand the budget or where the money's going.
Okay. Do you want to ask a final question, Peter?
Well, and we were talking about the Boys and Girls Club, and what would you do for the teens and the preteens and for after-school activities and after-school activities for the children to get them off the streets and to doing something more constructive?
I'm a true believer that you have to keep the preteens and teens occupied, whether it be with sports or any sort of activities. I think Brockton has a lot to offer. It has a lot of different programs. We can obviously develop new ones, but I think just letting them know what's available to them and helping them get to them is a big step, and I would like to see that. We can always develop more, but it already has a lot to offer. It's just a matter of getting them to know about them.
Mr. Zaccaro, Dick Zaccaro?
Yeah, we have a lot of great programs. We need to fix our parks and recreational facilities up. Joey Gomes is working with the youth in the city. He's doing a great job. We need to funnel more money in those programs. There's a lot of good church programs out there. We got to work closely with our community and our leaders. And it starts at home, too. We need good education in the city. We need to keep the kids off the street, occupied. There's a lot of workfare programs we have. And when I get elected, I'm going to appoint an advisory committee of about 6-7 different areas, the parks, community services. I have a lot of the minority reverends working with me in the city. So we'll take care of the problems up there, and we'll clean the streets up and have some good educational programs for the children to get involved with.
Mr. Sullivan?
Thank you, and thank you for bringing that up. And the answer is yes, we do need. We need tons of activities for our preteens and teens after school. I'm not even sure if you're aware that Crescent Court, Roosevelt Heights, Hillside Village, and Arthur Paquin Way, the YMCA has already worked with Brockton Housing Authority and come in with computer programs, all kinds of activities just to keep these kids busy. And I'm not sure if you realize that a couple of weeks ago, when the basketball hoops at North Junior High were torn down by mistake by the park department. I had those hoops put back up, pitches were taken, and that made the paper. That these kids need this stuff to do. There's too much time on their hands. and they can get in trouble very easily.
Okay.
The other thing, I'd like to see the movies put back and have some games and things for these kids at the park. Something to keep them busy.
Okay. All right, well, we just have like 2 minutes left. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Certainly does.
All right, Mrs. Garin, you went last. If you can quickly give me a 30-second summation why I should vote for you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Even though I'm not voting tomorrow. But why should the residents of Brockton vote for you, or you people?
I have a strong financial background that I fully utilize and represent you people and not the special interests. The duty and role of a public servant is exactly that, serve and protect the public. We should not be in baseball business. We should not be in the conference center business. We should not be in the water business. So we're going to get money back into your pockets, make sure your taxes are well spent, and there's plenty of other ways, as I highlighted to you, to get the revenues where I will vote to lower your taxes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Zaccaro. You've got 30 seconds, Mr. Sullivan, to tell folks why they should vote for you tomorrow.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. I wanted to thank all the sponsoring news media, and thank you to my fellow candidates. I have spent my entire public life doing things, getting things done. Brockton needs more police. I will budget significantly more police officers over the next 2 years. Ward 7 needs more crime watches. I will organize crime watches in every small and large neighborhood in the city of Brockton, Ward 7 especially. Ward 7 needs better roads and infrastructure. This will also be a priority. We must hold the line on taxes and seek new revenues. Ward 7 is the jewel of the city, the park and lace region. I intend to be an active, visible, constituent-oriented councilman. Tonight, I ask for your vote, and I will be your partner in making Ward 7 an even better place to live and raise your family. Thank you. Thank you again.
All right. Shirley, you have 30 seconds.
I believe that I'm the best choice because of my business sense and ability to communicate with the residents. So I hope that tomorrow you will go out and vote for me, Shirley Azak. I'm number one on your ballot, and every vote counts, so please go out and vote. Thank you.
I want to thank all of you for being here, and just again want to ask voters, make sure you get out and vote tomorrow. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to speak with Richard Rosen. And to find out what's going on at going down at McGuigan's Pub tomorrow and September 29th. Don't go anywhere.